this a lot of times today. How many knows every Christian is supposed to be led by the Spirit of God? But I don't find that every person wants to be led by the Spirit of God, even knows to be led by the Spirit of God. I told Scotty yesterday, something that I'm seeing, and I know I'm not the only one because I've heard some other ministers recently say it. I mean, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, maybe even longer, you could say, you know, to somebody, you need to be saved. They know what you're talking about. You can't say that to everybody today and them know what you're talking about. Y'all not saying nothing. Because some people think that if they join a church in 1959, that's saved. But that's not how you get saved. Some people don't know what they're supposed to be saved from. You know, so not every Christian that gets born again knows they're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. And then if they know that they are supposed to be, they don't know how. They don't know how he leads or anything else. So we're going to go back. I'm not going to take it for granted that everybody knows what I'm talking about or who I'm talking about. You know, I do not like the King James Version of the Bible where it says over there in Romans chapter 8, it says that, howbeit that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. That is a mistranslation. Why? The Holy Spirit, number one, he's not an it.
Right.
According to Scripture, he's a person. He's the third of the Godhead of the Trinity. There's the Father, there's the Son, which is the Word. We call him Jesus. And then there's the Holy Spirit. So let's go over to Genesis chapter 1. I got a lot of scripture this morning, and I'm going to have to be led on which ones we read. Of course, I don't expect to do this whole thing in just one service. Now, the word Genesis, it means in the beginning. So verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we see here, now listen, you can say Holy Spirit. The Bible calls him Spirit of God, Spirit, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. I mean, he has a lot of different names. And a lot of times the reason why he has a lot of different names is because sometimes people's names will tell you what they do.
Right.
Like John the Baptist. His name is not Baptist. That's not his last name. They call him John the Baptist because he did what? He baptized. That was his name. Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Christ denotes who he is. Yes, he's Jesus here in the flesh, but he's also the anointed one in his anointing. So that's not his last name. So a lot of times when you look at Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, you know, Spirit of the Living God or something like, it's talking about the same person, the Holy Spirit. And it says here that he was in the beginning. He's the one that was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, he's the one, he carries power with. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus with power, and I mean the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and afflicted of the devil. Now let's look at, since we're here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now notice that. God is talking to somebody. Right? If I'm talking to somebody, I don't say let me. I say let us. So who's he talking to? Well, the Amplified Bible, it'll tell you. He's talking to the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Let's see here in verse 26. It says, and God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing upon the earth. Now, when man was created, he was created in the image and likeness of God. We just read it. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost that image. Jesus came, he brought back the image, and when we get born again, we are supposed to be bearing that same image. But how many knows we grow into that?
Right.
It starts the day we get born again, and then we are continually in a process of growing and bearing that image that they bore. Now, God is God the Father. Some people say God the Son. We call him Jesus, which actually his name is the Word. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There wasn't anything made without the Word, and we call him Jesus in the book of Revelation. The Bible says he's got a name written on him, and his name's called the Word of God. You know, but we call him Jesus because that's who we needed him to be. You know, we needed him to come down here and take on flesh or whatever. But you've got God the Father, you've got the Son, we call him Jesus, and you've got the Holy Spirit. Do you realize you're a triune being just like him?
Yeah.
Some people don't. See, some people think, I'm looking at Johnny, they think that's Johnny. That's not Johnny. That's Johnny's car. That's the best way I can describe that. Why? Because you see that yellow truck out there? Now, that's not me. But guess what? I'm going to get in that yellow truck, and it's going to take me where I want or need to go.
Right.
Well, I have to have a body to operate here in the earth. And it's a three-part. I am a spirit. That's the part of me. Whenever you see somebody laying in the casket, that's not them.
Right.
They go in one place or the other. There's only two. But they're not staying here. And they're not coming back here.
Right.
There's only two that's coming back here, and you'll find them in the book of Revelation.
Amen.
Right? We're not going to get off into all of that. But anyways, your great-grandmother, when she left here, she ain't coming back here. She wouldn't come back here if she could, but she can't. So anyway, when you see somebody laying in the casket, that's not them. You say, oh, you know, he looks so good. No, he don't. That's his body. That's his car or his house. The Bible calls it our tabernacle. The Apostle Paul, you know, he called it our tabernacle. That's not you. When you look in the mirror, that's not you. The Bible says that we are a spirit. And when we get born again, we are now born of the Spirit of God. Our spirit, the Bible says we was dead in our trespasses and our sins. We get born again, and now the Bible says our spirit, we're alive unto God. Well, okay. Now, what's the rest of it? The Bible says we have a soul. Some places that translate in the King James, soul as spirit, and others, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Y'all don't have those. Y'all real quiet. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like Max said, which is nice. I said, y'all ain't saying nothing. He said, we're afraid to. Don't be afraid to. Don't be afraid to. See, sometimes what the flesh likes to do is just be entertained. When I'm sitting there, unless I'm watching a ball game or something, I don't talk to it. I don't say nothing. Now, when them shingles commercials comes on and stuff, I talk to it. You know, if you ever had chicken pox, they tell you you got the shingles virus. No, I don't. But usually when I'm watching a good movie or cops or something, I don't talk to it. So the flesh has a tendency to just want to sit back and be entertained. But how many knows that when the Word of God comes forth, he wants some agreement with the Word. It's not just for you to hear what I'm saying. So anyway, you're a three-part being. You are a spirit. That is the real you. That part of you, you're never going to die. You're going to live somewhere forever. So when the Bible talks about eternal life, he's not talking about living somewhere forever. Lost people don't have eternal life, and they're going to live somewhere forever.
Amen.
Right? He's talking about the life of God. But you're a spirit, and then you have a soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's where you think. That's where you reason. That's where you choose. That's where you decide. That's where you feel.
Right.
A lot of God's people live out of that part of themselves. The soul. And the Bible says if you live out of that part of you, you're going to die. The Bible says in Romans 8, it says to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
What's that mean, carnally minded? Well, we get our word carnivorous or carnivore from it. It means like meat eaters, what we would talk about today, you know. A lion eats meat or whatever. Well, what that means is whoever their mind is stayed on fleshly things all the time, you're carnal. You may be a born-again spirit. But wherever you keep your mind is going to bring life or it's going to bring death.
Right.
So I'm made up of my spirit, my soul, which is my mind, my will, emotions, and then I live in a physical body here in the earth. God is three-part being. He's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or we can say Holy Ghost. Now, every one of us that has been born again has the Spirit of God living on the inside.
Right.
You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You cannot get born again without him coming inside of you. The Bible calls it the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, what I was talking about Wednesday night is the baptism of the Spirit. He comes upon you,
right,
and you receive power for service. That's where he says, and you'll be witnesses. He's not just talking about you run out there and give everybody your testimony. That's an empowerment or power coming upon you. The word dunamis is whenever you look it up. It means a miraculous, miracle-working power. And then you receive a supernatural prayer language, which we call it other tongues. That's what the Bible calls it. But when you get born again, you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And you are supposed to be led by that Spirit inside your spirit. Now, put up Luke 4, verse 1, please, Zach. We won't take the time to turn over there because I got a lot of scriptures to go to. It says, and Jesus, now this was after he was tempted and all of that. He was fasting 40 days and all that, tempted of the devil, and this is afterward. And Jesus being full of what? The Holy Ghost. Now remember, he was baptized in the River Jordan, and the Bible says, we read it Wednesday night, the Holy Ghost came upon him in what? The form of a dove. Holy Spirit's not a dove. He's using that representation to show how mild, how meek, how gentle that he can be. But then, boy, he can also be bowed. But he says there, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was what?
Led by the Spirit.
You got the Son of God being led. The Bible says he stripped himself of God and came down here and became a man like me and you, full of the Holy Ghost. And he says here in this verse that Jesus himself was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Holy Spirit is not always going to lead you where you want to go. Jesus told Peter at the end of, I think it was Matthew or one of them, he said, listen, when you was young, you went where you wanted to. You did what you wanted to. He said, but when you're old, he said, one's going to come and take you where you don't want to go. Holy Spirit does not always lead me into what I want. He leads me into the plan and the purposes of God, whether I like them or whether I don't like them. Y'all not saying that.
That's right.
So we see here that Jesus himself was led. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, we're not going to take the time to read these. Y'all can go read them for yourself. It talks about how that we have a more sure word of prophecy. It says that men of God spake as they was moved on or compelled or impelled by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says every word of this book here was written by inspiration of God. Who you think inspired them? The Bible says God the Father, he's sitting on the throne. He's resting, right? He's been resting since creation. The Bible says that Jesus himself, after he was crucified, buried, raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, and he's where? Sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's not down here either.
Right.
But the Bible does say that there's one that is down here among us and in us when we get born again, and he is the Holy Spirit. So he's the one that is down here supposed to be leading us, guiding us, right? The Bible says in Acts 10:38, I already credited the scripture. Put it up there, please, Zach. I have a reason that I want you to see this. It says, and how God anointed Jesus. Well, I thought he was the Son of God. He is and he was. And he always will be. But he had to be anointed. You know why? Because me and you got to be anointed. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Ghost and with power. We all need to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. This is not a natural walk that we're called to. The Bible says that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. The Bible says we're only aliens passing through. This is not our home. This is kind of like a training center, so to speak. But he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus did not heal the sick in himself.
Nope.
I've had people tell me before, you know, well, if you're so anointed, you know, and all this stuff, you know, when you got such great faith, that we get crucified sometimes because a lot of what we talk about here is faith in God. Why don't you just go to the hospitals then and empty them out? That tells me, number one, you don't know anything about faith. And number two, you don't know anything about being led. Jesus said, of myself, I can do how much?
Nothing.
He told us over in John, I think it's what, chapter 15? Of myself, personally, Teresa, how much can I do?
Nothing.
But when the Holy Spirit leads me, That tells me, number one, God's willing. If I got a leading, God's willing and he's ready. All I have to do is follow his lead, whatever he says. But if I want to make something up, if he tells me something and I want to alter it because I don't necessarily like the way that he said it, it's not going to work. Why? He don't do what I say. I do what he says. Now, let's look at put Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 up, please.
Hey, can you tell us about the house, too?
I thought about that, but I didn't want to tell it.
Well, that'd be a good place.
You're the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
You said Ephesians.
It can also come through many ways. Ephesians 4, verse 30, please. I guess I can, since you can see us. We don't get to go nowhere very often. What I mean by that is take trips, you know, and different stuff like that. Why? I got to be led. Number one, I want a good trip. Number two, I don't want to spend no more money I'm supposed to. We have a lot of responsibility. A lot of responsibility. Scotty owns his own business. What's that mean? You work for God and the public. It ain't always what you want to do or when you want to do it. He pastors a church. I am the Sunday school teacher. He is the pastor. I'm part of the cleaning crew, you know, and I'll give away and all this other stuff, you know, not counting, you know, that we're parents and grandparents. So I can't just get up and go anytime I want to. Now, before I get born again, you better believe we did. All of our stuff fit in brown paper bags. Y'all not saying nothing. All of our stuff, all of our clothes, all of our natural possessions fit in brown paper bags except the truck that we had. And if we got the hot notion to go to Florida, bless God, we packed our little brown paper bag and we went and everybody found out usually when we got back. Y'all know. So anyway, I can't just go wherever I want to go, whenever I want to go and all that. So anyway, I'm mowing the yard. What was it, week before last week, something other. Anyway, somewhere around in there. So because of that, I'm mowing the yard, and I'm keeping my mind stayed on the Lord. How many knows you got to do that? If you don't keep your mind stayed on the Lord, the devil in the flesh will keep your mind stayed on something or somebody. So anyway, I'm keeping my mind stayed on the Lord over and over in my heart and my mind. I'm singing this song to the Lord, and I mean, I've got about 3 acres or more that I mow. So it takes me a while. Anyway, I'm out there, I'm mowing, I'm keeping my mind stayed on the Lord, I'm singing the song, and all of a sudden, here comes the Lord. Right up through here, I seen it and heard it at the same time. In a motel with a pool. And I got so excited. Well, if you know what that means, I get to leave here. I got so excited. My next thought, listen, this stuff is lightning fast. My very next thought was, I'm fat and I'm fluffy and I ain't getting in a pool with 20 other people. I'll find me a house with a pool. Y'all not saying that. I mean, this fast is how this has happened. Oh, and I'm still excited. I thought, God's going to let us get out of here. God's going to let me get a house with a pool. What'd he say?
Motel.
I don't want a motel. I'm fat and I'm fluffy and I'm not getting in the pool with 20 other people. So I'm going to give me a house with a pool. Well, lo and behold, I told Scotty, we get to look at him. But I didn't tell him the whole ordeal. I just said, God's going to let us get in the house with a pool. I said, I was mowing today and the Lord told me, we get to go. So he gets excited. We all get to look at him. I call Travis. I can't find nothing. I call Travis. I said, I know how I can do it. I told Scotty, I said, I'm going to call you boy. Now, we keep his kids every Tuesday night. That's their date night. We get to spend time with them. They get a long time. Anyway, so I called Travis and I said, listen, I said, I need you to look on the internet, find me a house with a pool, and I'm going to take your kids for the whole weekend. And he was like, let me see how fast I can find one. So now I've got him involved looking. I'm looking, Scotty's looking, Travis and Beth is looking. Not one. Not one could we find with a house with a pool for that weekend. You know what we found? All kinds of motels, hotels with a pool. And you know what I said? I had Scotty would tell me, I found a motel. I said, I'm not going to no motel. I done told you now, I'm not going to no motel with a pool. So needless to say, guess what I got?
Nothing.
I got to stay here with y'all. Why? I had a leading for one thing. Listen, this would be a very good teachable moment. The more you don't want something, the harder it's going to be for you. The more you want something, the harder it's going to be for you. Why? See, I didn't get to go because I refuse to do what he said. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Whatever he says, I can't alter it. Why? That won't work. It has to be to the T of what he said. That's what he gets involved in. Now, you, oh yeah, especially now you made me lose where I was at. Verse 30. So we see the Holy Spirit, he's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead and the Trinity. Verse 30 here says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we see here the word grieve, when you look it up, it says don't sadden, don't vex, don't hurt his feelings.
Right.
You're a person. Can your feelings be hurt?
Yeah. Yes.
He's a person. We can make him sad. We can cause him grief. We can hurt his feelings. We don't ever want to do that. And this verse, when you go back and you read it, the verses above it and the verses below it are what you're doing and what you're saying. The ones below it says, I'll let all bitterness and wrath and anger and this stuff be put away from me. The verses above it says, don't steal no more, don't lie no more. Why do you think it's a sandwich right in between all that stuff? Y'all don't know? Because that's some of the things that you can grieve him. Or that you can hurt his feelings. And we want to make sure we're not doing none of that. Now, let's look at Proverbs 3. I reckon we didn't get to tell none of your stories. Pastor?
I ain't got none.
The Bible says, lie not to the Holy Ghost. So I don't care how long you've been serving God, how much you endeavor to be led, you better stay up on it. Because that little lightning fast mind me and you've got, if you ain't careful, we'll talk you right out of it. Well, why? My soul is my reasoning center. See, the instant that come along, I had joy because I'm going to get to go or whatever, but then instantly my mind went to work reasoning this thing out of what I want, what I don't want, what I'm going to do, what I ain't going to do, and then I made a choice. That's how fast that this stuff can be. But look here in Proverbs chapter 3. I guess we'll just read, start in verse 1. He says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That's a good one. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. This is the verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Notice verse 5. Trust in the Lord. The Amplified Bible says it this way. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. But notice the first part of that verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all your what? You can't trust in the Lord with your mind. Faith is of the heart. The trust he's talking about has to be of the heart. It's not in my head, it's in my heart. And notice that. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into what? That's exactly what I done with the little pool deal. Lean not to my own understanding. You know what? I possibly could have went to one and nobody be at that pool. I don't know. But I just wasn't going to do it. So I didn't. And nobody got to go. Travis didn't even get his little weekend. I made everybody suffer. but because of what my reasoning, leaning to my own understanding. Listen, whatever he says, that is the best for me and you. It is the best for me and you. And it is his plan and it is his will. Regardless of what I may feel, regardless of what I may think, you know, Scotty says here, you know, dream. Richard, you brought it up, I think, Wednesday night about dreaming. Well, yeah, dreaming's good, but how many knows the flesh got dreams too? You better believe it. My flesh dreams of all kinds of stuff. When I'm asleep, when I'm awake, donuts, cake, I mean, all kinds of stuff. My flesh having my own way. Oh, y'all, like y'all don't know a thing of what I'm talking about. And that's okay. We're talking to Facebook, I'm sure, or India or somebody somewhere other than us, right, that are here. No, I'm just saying it. But notice that it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. That is a big one. We have to get out of the way. Because, see, I got saved when I was about 22, 23 years old. Scotty got saved when he was about 27 years old. Some people get saved when they're 50 years. You've had however long, many years that you've had being led by your head in outward circumstances. So now you get born again, that don't work no more. Now God says, you've been led by me, you've been led by all this outside, now it's got to change. You've been led by what you feel. You've been led by what you heard. You've been led by what you see. You've been led by what you carnally think. Now he says, now that you're born again, you cannot be led by that anymore. Now a spirit, the Holy Spirit, has come on the inside of you, and now you're supposed to be inside led. And that ain't easy, especially when you first start doing it. You got Christians this morning been saved a long time. And what they do is every Sunday and Wednesday, they try to be led where they're supposed to go to church. According to Scripture, over there, 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says, or is it 13? Anyway, the Bible says that God sets me in the church as it pleases him.
Yes.
Well, if I don't like it, does it matter?
No.
No. Because you know what? Richard and his family come here, you know, and he said whenever he first come here, he couldn't find nowhere where he fit. We found a bunch of places you can fit, Richard, regardless how big you get. I'm not trying to, I'm being serious. We can find a bunch of places. We can find unloading a box truck. We can find going on the street. We can find working at the giveaway. You know, we can find singing up. We can find a lot of places where you can fit. You might not see where you fit or know how you fit. When I come down here, I didn't have a clue how I fit. But do you know the Bible says your gifts will make room for you? Whatever God has placed on the inside of you, when he puts you where he wants you, those gifts will come into operation if you'll allow them. See, I had been a teacher for years. I had taught the kids. I kept the nursery ever since I've been saved just about. So I've kept the nursery for nearly 30 years, you know, on and off. I've taught little kids. I've taught the teenagers. I was back there one time teaching teenagers. This lady, her daughter had just turned 13, and she asked me one day, she said, when are you going to teach on the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues? You know, and I'm a little caught off guard, you know, and all I could tell her was, when the Lord leads me. I can't teach nothing unless he tells me. I mean, there's 66 books in this Bible. Which one do I want to pick? None of them is anointed unless he says. So I can't teach whatever I want to teach. There's whole churches. They have programs. Now, if the Holy Spirit led the whole program, glory to God, y'all better get on it. But most of them are not. We're going to do this, and this person's going to sing this, and this is in weeks in advance. But they put this stuff out there. People say, she used to go to church like that. Everything was programmed. We're going to do this at this time. This person's going to do this, and that person's going to do that. And then when we get done, we're going to leave, and we're going to come back, and we're going to do it all over again. How many knows God does not want robots? Like I said Wednesday night, we don't want to come into this house and I can tell you everything that's going to happen.
Right.
Scotty or Monty, somebody's going to get up here and start off service. Sandy, somebody. Then Travis is going to get up here and sing his three songs. And then if it's Sunday morning, then we're going to sing another song while Blake and Damien take up our offering. And then Scotty's going to preach and then we're going to go home. It's good to have a plan. We should have a plan. If you got a job, you should plan on going to work tomorrow. But don't be so planned you can't be open to the leading of the Spirit.
Amen.
And listen, the Holy Ghost don't lead you to stay out of work. Oh, gosh. Woo! Here we go. And deal that one over real well. Let me say it again since it did. The Holy Ghost don't lead you to lay out of work. The Holy Ghost don't lead you to lay out of church.
Amen.
I had a lady one time, been saved a long time, and I'm a baby Christian. And she had missed a service or two, and I said, hey, we missed you, you know. You wasn't here so-and-so, we missed you or whatever. Yes, the Spirit of the Lord led me to stay home and fast and pray. And the instant it came out of her mouth, in here, I'm in my head, I don't know what's wrong with that, Johnny, because I don't know the Scripture's right. But when she said it in here, something on the inside of me, which is the Holy Spirit bearing witness with my spirit, something's not right with that.
Right.
See, I don't even always have to know the Scriptures. Why? I got the Holy One living on the inside of me that He wrote the Scriptures.
Yes.
He inspired all the Scripture, right? But later on, I found out God calls all His little children to be together, gathered together, somewhere, sometime or another. Well, y'all get really quiet. You telling me you can't fast and pray at church? I fast and pray at church a lot. Start out in the morning telling the Lord we're going to fast today. I feel led or don't led. Whatever I'm going to do, I feel to fast that day. Well, guess what? I don't eat. I pray. I come to church for a couple hours. Whatever it is, I go back home. I'm still fasting and continue on praying. It never had to stop. My church attendance had nothing to do with that. But I can feel led to stay home and pray. Yeah, you're mad, all right. But it is not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Do you understand? There's all kinds of things and people and spirits trying to lead us all the time. Why? They want control of our lives. A spirit can't just do whatever it wants to do. The Holy Spirit can't even just do whatever He wants to do at certain times. He needs a vessel. He needed his hands and feet on the street yesterday. Guess what? Whoever went out there was his hands and feet. You were supposed to have been led. Don't ever try to minister to somebody because of what you know or what you've been and what they are.
Right.
Number one, you're depending on you for the ministry, and that ain't going to work.
No.
I don't have to have been a drug addict to minister to another drug addict.
Right.
I don't have to have ever had a divorce to minister to somebody that's been through a divorce or going through a divorce. Why? Jesus never sinned one time. He never committed adultery. He never committed fornication. He never disobeyed God, but yet He ministers to us all.
Amen.
But you know what He is? See, you may come to me talking to wanting to talk to me about a certain thing, and the Holy Spirit tell me to say something to you that seems so off the wall. Well, I see fruit, He sees root. Let me say that again. I see fruit of what you say, what you do. He knows root, hidden issues of the heart. I don't know those. Had some people come to us before, you know, I mean, they're having marriage problems and certain problems. One wants to do certain things. I don't know how to say this. One wants to do certain things that they're supposed to do as a married couple. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And another one, they're not really all that into it or whatever, especially, it's, at least not right now. Well, I know what the Scripture says over there, Johnny, in Romans chapter 7. It says that the one married woman does not have exclusive authority over her own body, but the man has his rights. The Bible says over there in Romans 7, it says that the man does not have exclusive rights over his own body, but the woman also has her rights. You have rights to each other's body as a married couple. That's as far as I can go with that. There's kids in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So they're expecting us to say something down those lines, Johnny. Because one of them wants theirs. Bless God, do benevolence. Oh, help us, Jesus. You know what I feel led to tell him? I want y'all to go home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for a week and figure out how y'all can do 1 Corinthians 13 for a whole week with each other. That has nothing, Sandy, to do with due benevolence.
Yeah.
So it seems. You know what the problem is? Selfishness. Golly, Mom, we could hear a pin drop. I am supposed to have certain things with my husband. My husband is supposed to do certain things with me or whatever. But when I become demanding of it, hey, Walt, or whatever or the case may be, or you, Walt, whoever, you know what? And I demand that, now I'm breaking the law of love. And that is the number one thing you don't break. God is love. Love's supposed to be leading me, right? Supposed to be led by God, led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will never break the commandment of love, ever. Not for me, you, or anybody else. So if I'm having that kind of problem, well, the Bible says, yeah, the Bible says, but rightly divided. What's the Spirit saying? Y'all remember over there with the temptation of Jesus? I believe he was led by the Spirit every word he said, because here come the devil, and Jesus was being led by the Spirit. He quoted the word, then the devil started quoting the word. But how many knows the devil don't quote it right? Or rightly divided in truth. There's people running around here today, they say, well, I'm just supposed to speak the truth. You know, I just speak it like it is. You know, the Bible says speak the truth. It does. But that ain't the full verse. The Bible says in Ephesians, speaking the truth in love. People can that knows the word, they can take that word and slice you and dice you. And the Holy Spirit wasn't involved in it no way whatsoever. I need to be led by what I say to people. I said something yesterday. Somebody out there on the porch, and I said something yesterday. I was fixing to leave, and I was just kidding. And I said something, and I mean, I didn't think it was not bad. As soon as it come out of my mouth in here, I felt like you should have not have said that. And I told the Lord, I said, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean nothing by it. You know, and I don't know if the person felt anything when I said it or whatever. Whether they did or not means nothing to me. And I hope they did. I hope I didn't hurt their feelings or make them feel some kind of way. But I felt some kind of way, and that's all that matters. When the Holy Spirit in here is telling me, don't say that, you should have not have said that. Do you know the Bible talks about don't be coarse joking and jesting all the time? I didn't say you couldn't ever tell a good, clean joke. Do you know everybody's sense of what is clean is not the same?
That's right.
Do you know the Holy Ghost's sense of clean is the same?
Yep.
So if I want to tell a joke, number one, I need to be led. Should I tell the joke? And what is the right joke? Right? Yeah. God is fun. God's not into all of us just being robots and everything just being the same. God's into fun. I mean, you read the Old Testament, he even commanded them to party, Johnny. Sure did. Gave them certain times, certain seasons, they're supposed to party. God commanded it. So God's not into not having fun or being humorous or being funny or anything like that. But how many knows we should be led in everything we say and we do? I told Scotty I'm becoming more and more convinced, gosh, time's getting late, that if I can just be led all the time, everything I think, everything I say, everything I do, everything I choose, I got it. Why? He always leads me in the way of truth. The Bible says he is the Spirit of truth. He'll always lead me in the righteousness, right? He always leads me into the plans and the purposes of God and best for my life and everybody that I'm going to come in contact with. And I mean, my mind would say, you can't do that. Well, I guess the Holy Ghost thought we could. I guess Jesus knew we could. He said, I don't do anything, lest I see my Father do it. I don't say anything, lest I hear my Father say it. How you think he seen it and heard it? He was led just like me and you supposed to be. Now, we read all that Proverbs, didn't we? So he says there, lean not to your own understanding. Don't start reasoning out the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit. Because like I told you, I know what Romans says about the body and the mirror, what's supposed to happen in the marriage about certain things. Not when it's done in selfishness. You shouldn't want somebody to do something like that with you that they don't want to do. Right? It's not supposed to be done that way. Let's move on from that. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. And I mean, and there's a lot of things. got that. I mean, it's just not that necessarily that one. But the number one thing when I'm ministering to somebody is I want to be led. Like I said, I can see fruit. Listen, I don't even know what I need myself. I thought I needed a house with a pool. The Holy Ghost said a motel with a pool. And guess what? I got nothing. There's been times I've been going fast before, and because he's... Do you know you don't think a thought? He don't know it. He's inside me and you, if you're born again. One time I was thinking about it, and I thought, I need to fast today, you know. My flesh was out of control, and I was being ugly. You know, kind of rude to people. I mean, I kind of have that tone anyway, and then if I am being rude, whoop, it's really bad. So I was thinking it in my mind, I thought, I need to fast today. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, you don't need to fast, you need to yield to love is what you need to do. Do you understand? I can fast till my eyeballs fall out. Now, fasting helps get control of your flesh. But if you're going to fast all you want to and not yield to the Spirit of God and to love, what good did it do? It ain't going to make you a bit sweeter. And if you ain't careful, sometimes you can get high-minded in your fasting if you're not going to walk in love. So I don't even know what I need myself. He does. But look here in Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. He says, for as many as are what? By whom? Not by what I feel. Now listen, you can have some feelings when you're being led. I'm not saying you won't have a feeling. You understand you do have spiritual feelings? The Bible talks about how the Spirit on the inside of us, He bears witness that we are the sons of God. What's that mean? The Apostle Paul, at one place, he said, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and us. Have you ever been thinking about something or going to do something or saying something, and in your head and in you, it was good, but when you was talking about it in here, it just kind of started feeling, oh, so bad. He ain't bearing witness for what you're thinking or saying or going to do. When he bears witness, you find an agreement. It's kind of like when you're talking to a person, when me and Scotty are talking to each other about the Lord or whatever, and we're having some good fellowship. It is agreement. I mean, it's like iron sharpens iron. He'll say something, a scripture will come to me, I'll say a scripture, come back to him, and just on and on and on. Sometimes we do that half the night at different times. Then, Johnny, there's other times. Did I just better not say that? I don't even say hand me the remote. I just go over and get it because you know you shouldn't have it. But anyway, there's times you don't say nothing. Why? There's no agreement there. The Bible says a wise man talks all the time.
Few words.
What? Sure. Few words, huh? Notice this, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Or you could turn this verse around and say the sons of God are supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. I heard this morning. Listen, the Bible says, because I'm not going to have time to get to the scripture, but the Bible says over there in John, it says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will not bear witness with lies. He will not get involved in lies.
Amen.
I heard this morning. If you are lying on your food stamps and calling it the blessing of the Lord, you ain't right. The blessing of the Lord does not involve lies.
Amen.
Well, this is going over real good. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with drawing food stamps. Been there, done that. Would today if I needed to or whatever. I just don't need to. So there's nothing wrong with food stamps or governments. I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. But if I have to lie to get them, I don't need them. If I have to lessen my income to get them, if I have to say there's more people living in my house with me than what there is to get them, Holy Ghost, God ain't going to be nowhere near that. Listen, if you've got a court case or something coming up or something to do with the law, don't mind. Why? You need God working in you, with you, and for you.
Amen.
You need all the mercy, grace, and favor of God you can possibly get. And when you start lying, if you did it, just say you did it. I'm working on my grandkids right now, especially that age. Boy. He has this thing about panty pull-ups and pee and all this stuff. You know, he just, woo! Aubrey wasn't quite as bad when I would tell her, don't you lie to me. So I'm working on them right now. You may get in trouble, but it's going to be way worse if you lie to me. Why? Because that is so big to God. And the Holy Spirit will not come and help me when I'm lying. God, y'all, we could hear a pin drop. Listen, we're talking to them Facebook people, okay? He does not get involved in that. He does not work for you in that. Do you understand? There can be no lying. There can be no falseness. There can be no pretense whatsoever if you're wanting him to help you and get involved with what you're doing or what you need him to do. Understand what I'm telling you? We've got to stop because actually we're a couple minutes over.